Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God, we pray also for Charlotte. For Charlotte, that in her little heart, I mean, it's got to be confusing. But she's seen you do miracles before, and I love going to their house and seeing the pictures you have up of when Charlotte was in the hospital, and there was people praying and visiting her day and night, night and day, and Charlotte says, can we look at my pictures of when I was in the hospital? And Ashley will get out the book, and Joe gets out the book, and they show her, and they say, God did a miracle in your life. You're our miracle. And so I know that she knows that you're the God who does miracles. You're the God who saves. You're the God who brings life where it's hopeless. And so I pray over her little heart, Lord, that you would give her an assurance, that you would give her a peace, that you would keep fear far from her. That you would give her strength. That you would wrap her up in your arms, Jesus. You would wrap her up in your arms. And you would take care of her. That you would keep her guardian angel over her, protecting her. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would raise her up to be a mighty woman of God, and that this would be used again, that you would use what the enemy meant for evil for good, and you would use this moment in her life as the fuel for her relationship with you, as the fuel to a deeper, more profound understanding of who you are, even at her young age. And God, lastly, we lift up the twins, Hazel and Indy. Lord, we know how much our lives can be affected from things that happen very early. And so I pray over their little minds that are being molded and their hearts and who they are, God. I pray that there would not be fear, that fear wouldn't create anything inside of them, and shame and loneliness, there would be none of that. But that these two little girls would walk through this holding your hand. That you would lift them up. And just like you would wrap them in your arms, you would hold them close, you would tell them who they are, even though they're just little girls. But they need more of you too. They have to walk through this too, and they need you to walk right beside them. I pray that they could dwell in your presence all the days of their life, and this time especially, that you would put over them, you would put around them a wall of protection, a wall around the whole D'Agostino family, that there would be nothing that would enter there except your presence, except your power. Oh God, we love you. And we believe you. Today we are believing you for healing. We're believing you for Pastor Joe and for Ashley and for Janae and for the twins and for Charlotte. We're believing that you're going to move. We wouldn't be here if we didn't believe you, if we didn't have faith. So right now we lift up our hands and we lift up our voice and we say, praise your holy name, because you're going to move. Because this is the beginning of a move, that our hearts are breaking and we're here before you because you're going to move and you're going to work and you're going to heal in ways that we never thought possible. Just like it says in Ephesians 3, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. We pray to you and we come to you and we thank you for what's going to happen. We praise your holy name because we're going to see Pastor Joe back here. Because we're going to see Ashley ready to go, restored, filled with joy and with passion and with peace. We're going to see the girls just as happy as ever. And even more so. Is there anything too hard for you? Oh God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
I want to invite my wife up really quick. She has one message for the D'Agostinos. And she has a short prayer that she wants to say.
I have a message to D'Agostino. This morning I read you have 322 prayers for your family. No, that's not true. There are hundreds and hundreds in Ecuador, Guatemala, Brazil, and around the world. Because the church is one, and it is with you. And this morning I want to represent with a short prayer that you and your kids can see and hear that. I can speak Portuguese, but I will in Spanish. Gracias, Señor, en esta mañana por la vida de la familia de Agostino. Yo oro esta mañana especialmente por tu mano milagrosa en el nombre de Jesús, que tú vas y sanas los pulmones y tocas la vida del Pastor Joe. Oro, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, que traes una fuerza poderosa para Ashley, un avivamiento en su corazón fuerte, Señor. Oro por Indy, por Charlotte, por Hazel, por Jené, Señor, que aún son niñas. Tú llegas a su corazón, tú vas hasta su habitación y te reposas en ellas y les traes sanidad y les traes libertad y quitas todo miedo, todo temor, toda atadura en el nombre de Jesús y tú traes libertad a sus vidas, a sus mentes, a sus corazones. Padre, oro porque tú dijiste en el nombre de Cristo Jesús, todo será desatado en la tierra. Oro para que el enemigo no tenga fin en la vida de cada una de ellas. Gracias porque tú has sido bueno, tú has sido fiel y seguirás siendo, Señor. Creemos y confiamos que tú lo harás y en tu poder confiamos. Espíritu Santo, ve a cada una y habla con ellas y di tu mensaje profundamente en sus corazones, a sus mentes. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Ashley, Jené, Charlotte, Indy, Hazel, and Pastor, God says, I am Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? And this is the same word for everyone who has a problem in this time.
As I was thinking about what to share in this last segment, the Lord reminded me of Jim Cimbala and his many great books that he's written. You know, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, and many of you have read, I think, some of his books across the years, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Fresh Faith, Fresh Power, and The Life God Blesses and The Church God Blesses, and then this book is Breakthrough Prayer. And I wanted to read one of the illustrations he gave in this book that I think, you know, we just realize there's so many wonderful illustrations we can maybe share from time to time about what God has done and how God has ministered and how God has taken care of a particular situation, a particular relationship, and in a sense removed that mountain so his glory could be seen, so it could shine through in that family. It says, when I think of getting priorities straight, I think about an 88-year-old woman I know named Estelle. She has never had it easy. When Estelle was a child, her father became ill. In 1929, at age 14, with the Great Depression just beginning, Estelle moved to New York, hoping to find work to help ease things back home in Pennsylvania. Grateful to have landed a job waiting tables, she sent home 3/4 of her salary, $15 a month. That left just $5 to cover her expenses. By the time she was 21, Estelle married a young man named Nick, whom she met at church. The first few years of their marriage went well, and both were active in the church. She as a Sunday school teacher and he as secretary treasurer. Even though the church was very legalistic, Estelle knew that what matters most in life is loving and trusting Jesus. What she didn't know was that her trust was about to be severely tried, not for a short season, but for the next 23 years. The trouble started at one of Nick's office parties. He had attended plenty of them during his career at Westinghouse, but had always managed to say a polite no whenever alcoholic beverages were offered. Then one night, he gave in, and it only took one drink for him to lose control of himself. In an instant, he became an alcoholic. That's when the shouting started and the violence and the tears. The situation became so bad that even Nick's relatives urged her to leave. "He's going to beat you if you don't," they warned. "Think of the toll it's going to take on the kids." She knew her children were upset. Her daughter came down with a case of shingles because her nerves were so bad. And her 12-year-old son began pouring out the bourbon his father had hidden in the basement. She knew Nick wouldn't complain. He wouldn't even admit he drank, so he couldn't possibly object when his bourbon went missing. As much as she loved her children, Estelle couldn't bring herself to leave her husband. She was too afraid that Nick would end up in the gutter, so she stuck it out. It wasn't long until Nick lost his job at Westinghouse and Estelle went back to work to support the family. For 25 years, she worked at a large department store in downtown Brooklyn and finally retired in 1981. During all that time, Estelle never lost faith, never stopped praying that the Lord would reach her husband in a way she couldn't. It was no use quoting Bible verses to him. He knew them all. God would have to find a way to penetrate his heart. The whole family was praying for Nick. Estelle's youngest son had gone into the ministry and had enlisted people in his church to pray. Finally, when Nick was in his 70s, he stopped drinking. Nothing dramatic happened to change him, but Estelle knew that God had used the prayers of many to convict him of his sin and his need for grace. For the last 15 years of his life, Nick was sober as a judge. Today, Estelle is the same faithful woman she has always been, telling friends and family that Jesus is sweeter than ever before. At the age of 88, her top priority is loving the Lord and serving alongside his people. As a member of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Estelle attends at least 2 of the 3 worship services every Sunday. She's always early for the Tuesday night prayer service, and she's up again for the Wednesday morning Ladies Fellowship, where every first-time visitor receives a beautiful pot holder handmade by her. Last year, she made 100 and handed out more than 4,000 of them. Many people weaken in their faith as they age, becoming attached to the shallow security of this world or growing cynical from the wear and tear of life. The fiery devotion they once had for the Lord ebbs away, but Estelle is a rebuke to all who let themselves be robbed of their faith and fervency. A few years ago, Nick passed away. After 64 years of married life, Estelle needed fresh grace to deal with the loss. But God is faithful, and she continues to serve him with joy and amazing energy. Instead of bitterness or depression, she has the inner beauty of a heart that leans hard on the Lord. She's probably the prettiest 88-year-old lady anyone could ever meet. You can take my word for it, because she's my mom. Wow. What a beautiful illustration of God's grace, of how who knows how many prayers were prayed for him down through the years. And yet, as they continued to pray, God was faithful to answer and minister to the needs and to bring him back to the fold. I want us to continue in prayer. Join with me. Father, we're praying today especially for our pastor, Pastor Joe D'Agostino. Father, I realize that you know him better than anybody else because you formed him in the womb of his mother. And you know him from that moment on to today. You know the many, many things that he's gone through his childhood and teen years, and the decisions he's made, the lessons he's learned, and the things that have taken place as he's grown up in his family. And Father, I just pray that through all of those things, we're thankful that you have worked in his life and brought about the many lessons he's learned and helped him to become the person that he is becoming yet today. And through his education, we know he studied and learned and applied himself. And through his time in the Army, he's experienced some things that perhaps he doesn't want to talk about. So many servicemen don't want to talk about those things, but no doubt he still maybe learned some things, what not to do or what not to say or who not to approach at times. But Lord, you've used all those experiences to make him who he is today. Father, thank you for the call that you've placed upon his life, and for the deep sense he feels of that call and being what you want him to be and helping him to become more of that person you want him to be day by day. We realize that through the various ministry experiences as youth pastor and pastor, he's learned a lot, and he's learned to interact with people in ways that only by being who he is and dealing with their situations, he's learned wisdom. He's learned how to teach and how to be an example and how to pray and how to have faith for their needs. And Father, we realize now he's in a perhaps different situation than maybe he's ever been before, because he needs people to pray for him. He needs people to lift him up when perhaps he can't hardly have the strength to pray himself because he's weak. Father, I pray that you would restore the strength to his body that he so desperately needs. That, Father, you would eliminate the coughing that comes and causes him to not be able to talk and not be able to carry on. And Father, you know all about those details because it's been going on these past many days. Lord, bring that healing. The breathing that has been labored, the breathing that has been tough, and the oxygen level that has not been as high as it needs to be. Father, we just pray that you would bring healing to that part of his body in a way that he'll be restored. And since you are restoring him, you, the great physician, are bringing that healing to him that he so desperately needs. Father, bring encouragement. I think that one of the things that is so strong about Pastor Joe is his way of encouraging people and lifting them up and letting them know that he believes in them, and he's just doing whatever he can to reach out to them and let them know that he cares. And so, Father, right now he needs encouragement. So even though we can't perhaps be there with him, you can. And give him that encouragement he needs in you to know that you're there with him, even though sometimes he might feel all alone. Help him to know that you're right there with him in the midst of this battle, and give him that encouragement that he needs. Give him the strength he needs to keep fighting for his life, fighting for health, fighting for restoration in his body. Father, help him to just sense that you are able to do that and help him in the whole midst of the healing process. Give protection and blessing over his caregivers and their families. And thank you for them caring for him and, in a sense, risking their lives to do all they can to help him to get better and to get over this as quickly as possible. Father, thank you for their time, and help them to be patient, help them to be understanding, and help them to be a listening ear. And thank you for what we've already heard, that especially that nurse and perhaps others have been there and done what they could to, in a sense, stand in the gap and be what needed to happen so that he would get the help that he needs. Father, may your Holy Spirit's presence be with Joe in that room right now. And may you just kind of overflow all over that room so that everybody senses there is a special presence in that room and that you are there in a special way and you're bringing healing to him and you're touching him in a way that he so desperately needs. Be with Ashley and the girls as has already been prayed. Lord, strengthen Ashley, encourage her, give her the rest that she needs, and help the girls to be at peace knowing that you have their father. You are taking care of him. You're restoring him. And help them to trust in you and know that you know what's best and what's right and you're bringing about that restoration that is so desperately needed. Father, help us to not just pray during these hours this morning, but help us to keep praying this afternoon for Pastor and this evening and the coming days until we once again are able to see him with us in person and worship together with him. Father, we know it's going to be a long process, and we just pray for you to bring that restoration and healing as quickly as possible, and may he sense that you are doing it. Help him to be patient in the midst of it all. Father, as we continue in prayer and kind of conclude our time of prayer this morning, I want to just pray for some of the other people of our congregation who continue to need your healing touch as well, as I think of Noreen Weston and all she's been through in these last few weeks since the difficult accident that took place and the many surgeries she's had, and she's resting but not able to bear weight on that one leg. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with her and be with her husband Don, who cares for her. Be with Rebecca Story and healing of her arm, and Laura Perdue and the foot that needs that restoration to take place. And be with Sally Derrickson as she just had surgery this week, as well as Terry Herb, who had surgery this week. Be with those ladies and help them to sense that you're right there with them as they're, I believe, now home, and just bring healing to them and help them to sense that you are the great physician and you are bringing that healing that they need. Be with Marcia Peters and the tests that she had with her heart this week, and just bring healing to her heart. Father, be with Joy Blake as she perhaps is facing surgery down the road and knows that she is needing that, but just pray that you'd be with her and encourage her during this time. Be with Paul Martin as he's facing some treatments for cancer. Have your way in his life and help him to draw closer to you and sense your presence as he tries to witness to his family. Be with Abby Cabello. Lord, you know the treatments she's going through and the pain that she's been enduring with all that's been going on from the surgery and now the treatments. Lord, touch her. Give her healing and help her to ease the pain to be eased and help her to be able to stand up under it. Be with others like Mike Sheets, who's continuing to have pain in his back and needs your healing touch upon him. And thank you for the healing that's been taking place in Teresa Eads, and continue that healing. Be with Francis Phillips and Maurice Kroll as they need your continued touch as well. Jan DeFord, who was in the hospital this week, have your way in his life and restore his strength. Father, you know all things. And we're thankful that we can bring our needs to you, and I'm sure I've left some others out, and there's unspoken requests on the minds and hearts of people of our congregation. Lord, have your way in each and every need, and help us to sense as we pray for one another that you somehow give us encouragement, and you help us to be sensing somehow that your Holy Spirit is ministering to us in the midst of our faithfulness to pray and to reach out and pray for others. And now I encourage all of you who are still listening and worshiping with us through this time of prayer, let's pray together as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In closing, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today and worshiping with us, and may God go with you as you live for Him today and throughout this coming week.